Recently, a group of Catholic media outlets, including Alatea and Our Sunday Visitor, and funded by Google, formed a fact-checking organization to help clarify fake news and misleading information about vaccines against COVID-19. Mr. Orwell, call your office. Hello, and welcome to the Crisis Point Podcast. I'm Eric Sammons, your host and the editor-in-chief of Crisis Magazine. Before I get started, I just want to encourage people to like and subscribe to the channel. We just hit 4,000 subscribers on YouTube, so thank you everybody who subscribed there. We're also adding subscribers at other channels such as Odyssey, and you can also watch us live on Facebook and on Twitter. Follow us there at Crisis Mag, and also at various other social media outlets. Most of our places were at Crisis Mag. So I really appreciate those who have subscribed and liked our various videos. So today I'm talking about Catholic Fact Checking. This is an organization, that started up a few months ago, but just recently got in the news. And it's actually at Catholic-factchecking.org, I believe. And here I'll read a little bit from the About Us page so we can get a sense of what this is. It says, in order to help clarify fake news and misleading information about vaccines against COVID-19, an international consortium of Catholic media, news agencies, and world-renowned scientists, scientists are being found, founded. Pope Francis, the Holy See, and the bishops' conferences from around the world have spoken out about the importance to get vaccinated to respect not only one's own life, but also that of others. In the worldwide Catholic community, especially on social networks, many scientific and ethical questions are being raised regarding the ethical character of the process of producing the vaccines. These issues need to be clarified or explained by scientists, bioethicists, and theologians. Whereas posing ethical questions on the use of vaccines is surely legitimate, they must be addressed clearly without adding further misinformation. And it's headed up by Alatea, which I think a lot of people might know of. It's a worldwide website. It's in a lot of different languages. And it actually has connections to the Vatican. And this organization, the Catholic Fact Checkers, is connected to the Pontifical Academy for Life. The Pontifical, three different members of the Pontifical Academy for Life are part of their scientific community. I think most of us who are following these things know that the Pontifical Academy for Life is now the Pontifical Academy for Anti-Life. Unfortunately, Pope Francis a few years ago gutted it and replaced its original intention. Essentially, now it's just another social justice woke organization, and it just does a lot of terrible things, and it's very much promoting the vaccine. So a few examples of how they're doing this fact-checking is, in one case, they have an article explaining why a Catholic religious exemption to the vaccine doesn't exist, that there is no such thing as a Catholic religious exemption. And I've written about this before at Crisis Magazine, that obviously there is a Catholic religious exemption, because the Pontifical Academy of Life, before it went woke and got broke, back in 2005, specifically encourage Catholics to resist abortion-tainted vaccines. It said, yes, you could take them potentially, but that you shouldn't take them unless there's grave reasons to, and you should do everything you can to fight against them. And so obviously, somebody who decides it's not a grave reason to take the COVID vaccine, even if they think it is moral to take it in certain situations, that's a Catholic religious exemption. But according to the Catholic fact checkers, there is no such thing. They also called the vaccine, in another article, a moral obligation. Obligation that directly contradicts, again, what has been stated by the Vatican elsewhere, that the vaccine cannot be forced upon people. Now, I guess you could argue that it's an obligation for the person, but they're not they're against mandates, and that's probably true. But clearly, they're not really respecting that a Catholic in good conscience could decide not to take the COVID-19 vaccine. And so they're going to fact check us to make sure that we all take it. Now, this is part of a larger program that we see throughout media today. The whole idea of fake news and misinformation has become something that the mainstream, the corporate media, talks about all the time. And it really started with Trump, I believe. I really think it was the lead up to Trump. What's interesting, in 2012, President Obama was lauded for the fact that he used social media like Facebook and these different networks to win the election. But when Donald Trump did it in 2016, all of a sudden now it was pushing fake news and misinformation. And so we had there was a concerted effort to control this information. And we see all the time, if you're on Facebook, you know, if you even have the word COVID or vaccine or anti-vax or anything like that in your post, even if it's part of an image, you'll automatically get tagged with a label that basically takes you to what they would say are the experts, what the experts are saying about COVID. And this is on all social media, and you see it all the time throughout the media. And fake news and misinformation is now being touted as the worst threat to democracy we can have. Ironically, of course, the main casualty of this fact-checking is the truth. Because what it's doing is it's basically saying, okay, there is one line that we will follow, and that's the only one we are willing to follow. And if you dare to question that in any way, shape, or form, no matter what your facts are, you will be shut down. A perfect example of this recently is the big push to cancel Joe Rogan. Now, I'm not a big Joe Rogan fan. I've listened to his podcast a few times when he's had guests that interested me. I think one time he was talking, it was some diet information I thought was interesting. A doctor had recommended me listen to it, which is funny because that doctor now is a complete pro, like pushing the vax and against misinformation. And she'd recommend Joe Rogan podcast to me a few years ago. But there's this big push to cancel him off of Spotify. And it's because he's not following the narrative. For all I know, Joe Rogan is a raging liberal in a lot of ways. However, he is willing to have guests on who question the COVID narrative. And these are not just some schmo with a podcast like me. He has real guests on, doctors, experts, actual experts like Dr. Robert Malone, Dr. Peter McCullough. These are people who they may be wrong. And I don't want to act like I claim that they are definitely right. However, they have earned the right to be heard. They've earned the right to be part of the debate about the vaccines, about the COVID narrative, about how we fight COVID. Yet they have been blacklisted by all the fact checkers because supposedly they're fake news, they're misinformation. Now, there's a twofold problem with this whole idea of misinformation. And it comes at both sides. One problem with the idea of misinformation, suppose misinformation is what is called false today is often acknowledged as true tomorrow. We've seen this. If anybody has a memory that's longer than a day, they know we've been seeing this throughout the past 2 years. So for example, I there's a lot of different examples, but I remember when you would get deleted off of Facebook, off of Twitter, you'd be blocked, you'd be laughed at if you dared to suggest that COVID might have originated in Wuhan. Now, of course, it's acknowledged. Yeah, it probably did. It did. You know, that there's a legitimate reason to think that it started up in Wuhan. Just a few months ago, it was said that if you get the vaccine, you cannot get COVID. President Biden said this explicitly, and other people said this. The experts, so to speak, that the media touted. But yet now we all know if you have the vaccine, you still can get COVID. Now, they might say you wouldn't go in the hospital as long and different things like that. Whatever. It wouldn't be more mild. That's not the point here. The point is you were labeled fake news and misinformation if a few months ago you said something that now is generally acknowledged to be true, which is that you can get the virus even if you are vaccinated. So that's the one problem is things that were labeled false today will be acknowledged as true tomorrow. So obviously they're not fake news or misinformation. The second problem with this whole misinformation campaign is that what was true yesterday and has always been true is now considered false. The best example of this, for example, is the transgender situation. Whereas everybody knows a man is a man, a woman is a woman. A man can't declare himself a woman all of a sudden be a woman or vice versa. Yet, if you say that now, that's labeled misinformation. That gets you banned off of Twitter, off of Facebook, you know, potentially fired from your job. Likewise, the same thing with homosexuality. For the longest time, everybody acknowledged that homosexuality is a disorder. It's a disorder. If you are attracted to the same sex sexually, you have a psychological disorder. And then all of a sudden in the 1970s, I believe it was, they started saying, no, it's not a disorder because of political pressure and whatnot. And so now if you suggest that, it's misinformation, fake news, because all the experts say it's not true. And so what we see here is misinformation is just, here's my definition of misinformation. Misinformation is any statement, whether true or false, that contradicts the dominant narrative one is trying to promote. Let me say that again. Misinformation is any statement, whether true or false, that contradicts the dominant narrative that one is trying to promote. So, for example, if you're trying to get people to take the vaccine, anything that would make somebody hesitant to take the vaccine is misinformation. If you're trying to say that transgenderism is okay, that it's okay for a man to declare himself a woman, any information, no matter who says it, no matter how credentialed they are, is now misinformation. So misinformation is not related to whether or not a statement is true or false. It's related to whether or not a statement promotes or doesn't promote the dominant narrative. And by dominant narrative, I want to make sure it's very clear what I'm saying here. It's whatever the powers that be, the elites, whatever you want to call them, it's whatever they want people to believe. I called it in a recent article at Crisis, I call it the woke axis. And this is the combination of media, big tech, large corporations, academia, and government. Take these different organizations. They basically work in tandem. And this isn't like a conspiracy theory in the sense of they get together in meetings, in secret meetings, and you say, okay, what are we going to do now? Maybe some of them do. I don't know. But basically what it is it's these different organizations that decide this is a narrative we're going to push, and we're all going to make sure we agree upon it. So with COVID, it has to do with pushing the vaccine, rejecting any alternative treatments such as ivermectin, and doing all and basically demonizing anybody who dares goes against the COVID regime. That woke axis, that's who pushes the dominant narrative. And so any statement that goes against the dominant narrative is considered fake news, is considered misinformation. Now, what's particularly, and also the other thing that is part of the whole misinformation campaign, the fight against misinformation, I guess you'd call it, is this idea that there are experts that we must listen to. But what makes somebody an expert isn't just simply their academic credentials or their experience. It's whether or not they agree with the dominant narrative. If you don't agree with the dominant narrative, I don't care how many letters you have after your name, you're not an expert anymore. And you see that whenever you make a statement that goes against the dominant narrative, somebody will say, well, all the credible experts will say, or they might just say all the experts. What they mean is all the experts who agree with what I think say this. Well, I can say the exact same thing. All the experts who agree with me. What makes somebody an expert isn't whether they agree with you, but it's their experience, both academic and in real life, their knowledge of the field. That's what makes somebody an expert. And as we've seen, experts in the scientific community, experts disagree all the time. Actually, that's part of science. There's nothing wrong with the idea of experts disagreeing. That's how you come to conclusions. You have people challenge your assumptions, challenge your data, and decide whether or not, okay, is this something that is true or not? And so that's another problem with the whole misinformation, fight against misinformation, is it's selective in what experts it picks. Now, what I'm particularly disappointed in is Catholic organizations joining this thought police. And it really is thought police, because it's like you can't even express a thought that goes against the narrative without being shut down, without being shouted down and told, no, you're crazy, you're extreme, whatever the case may be. But here we have Alatea and Our Sunday Visitor among, and by the way, there's a number of Catholic media outlets that have joined this throughout the world. Those are the two American ones that I recognize, was Alatea and OSV. And just to be clear, I want to make sure this is very clear, that as the editor-in-chief of Crisis Magazine, I can guarantee you, Crisis is not going to ever be part of a group like this. In fact, I tweeted soon after this news came out, I put, Alatea and OSV co-found a Catholic fact-checking media org funded by Google to push the COVID vaccines and silence opposing views. In my response, Crisis Mag will never be part of such a group. And also, I said, don't buy my two OSV published books. Now, just to give a little backstory there, Our Sunday Visitor, I was my first two books Who is Jesus Christ and Holiness for Everyone were published by Our Sunday Visitor. I'm very grateful for Our Sunday Visitor for publishing them. I was a nobody, still am a nobody, but I was a nobody in 2010 when my first book was published. I had a blog, that was about it. And they took a chance and they published my book, and I'm very grateful for that. And they published my next book, Holiness for Everyone. However, I really do believe that in the past few years, they've had a change in leadership, and I think the direction, and I also think part of this has to do with the fact that the Catholic Church has had a change in leadership with Pope Francis. I was published by OSV under Pope Benedict. And I think really what Our Sunday Visitor is, it promotes whatever the Pope says. No matter what his opinion is, they're just going to promote that. And so they've become very much pro-vaccine. I know for a fact that the leader of OSV, they're very much pro-vax and very anti, very pro any COVID measures, the government measures that have been taken. They've proven to fail time and time again. They've been pushing them. And in fact, I thought this was interesting. This could be a coincidence. I will admit it could be a coincidence. But literally a couple days after I tweeted out, don't buy my OSV published books, I got a letter from OSV stating that my two OSV published books are going to go out of print. Now, I will say it's been 10 years, 12 years since they were published, and that's pretty standard to have a book go out of print if it's not selling that great anymore. And those books aren't like selling that great anymore. I mean, they continue to sell some, but not that much. But I just thought it was funny timing, just interesting timing that literally, I think it was 5 days after I tweeted that, OSV sends me a letter saying your two books are going out of print. So c'est la vie, whatever. But what I think is the problem here with OSV and Alatea joining this is they're becoming useful idiots for the regime. Now, I use the term useful idiots not as like just some derogatory insult, but it's a term used for people who support a regime kind of unknowingly, not realizing that what they're doing is supporting evil. They don't really get that. So they're just useful to the people in charge. And the people in charge don't really like them. They don't really care. It's not like the COVID regime. They care about what OSV thinks or Alatea thinks. They're just going to use them to promote what they want to promote. And Alatea and OSV and the others don't realize this. And so they just go along with it because they think it's a good thing. But the problem is that you have to look at this whole fact-checking organization in the context of the world in which we live. We're not talking about this is the 1950s where media outlets are maybe publishing anti-Catholic materials. And so Catholic media get together and say, we're going to fact check these anti-Catholic statements being made by the mainstream media. That would be one thing. That would be understandable. But we're living in an environment, like I said, where fact checking is the way that you censor dissenting voices. It's the way that you keep people from speaking up about the truth. And it is being used, like I've already said, not only against the COVID, against any COVID skeptic, COVID regime skeptic, I should say, but it's also being used against Catholic teaching. So for example, about homosexuality being a disorder, about transgenderism being a definite psychological disorder and just an attack on reality. If you are joining forces, because remember, this organization is funded by Google. I mean, Google, they're right at the top of big tech censoring voices for the truth. And so if you're really joining forces with Google for this one area, you think, okay, well, I agree with them on this one thing. You're simply giving power to them over all of their fact-checking, their so-called fact-checking, all of their censorship. You're basically becoming part of Big Brother. We're not in we're in an environment where we do have Big Brother watching over us. And so we have to watch out for that. We have to fight against that. We don't join forces with them because we happen to agree with their censorship in one area. Doing that just empowers them more and more. And so it's very disappointing to see these Catholic organizations that are joining in with this terrible decision to fact check, to censor any dissenting voices. And it's just, yeah, it's insane. And so we see how, I just want to give an example of one way in which this is getting implemented, is that there was a tweet, when was this? Back on January 4th by Alberta Carrara. He is a member of the scientific committee of CatholicFactChecking.com. I also think he is part of the Pontifical Academy for Life. And he quote tweets Edward Penton, one of the best, probably the best Catholic reporter in the world, definitely the best English-speaking Catholic reporter around. He retweets him and criticizing his article as fake news. And so basically he's promoting the idea of all pediatric scientific communities are in favor of vaccination against COVID in the age group 5 to 11 years old. Okay, so a couple things here. First of all pediatric scientific communities, again, it's the experts that I agree with. They agree with me. They're all in agreement about this. And so that's typical of fact checkers, is that they only listen to certain experts. Second, the idea of calling this fake news. So what is he calling fake news? It's an article by Ed Penton, and I have it here, and I won't read it all to you. But the title of it is Vatican's Pontifical Academy for Life Pushes Child Vaccination Despite Documented Deaths Soon After Jab. And what Penton does is he basically reports, because he's a good reporter, he reports on the fact that some children have passed away, have died days after receiving the COVID vaccine. And he lists, this was up to date as of December 17th, 2021. And he lists, he basically gives a link to, how many do we have here? I think it's like 40 something. 40, let me see. Yeah, 48 different examples of a minor, somebody under the age of 18, who died soon after receiving a COVID vaccination. And note, he's not saying, this is publicly known information. He just gathered it together. He's not making any claims in this article of medical advice, like he's a doctor or something. He's simply reporting the news that yes, some kids have died after receiving the COVID vaccine. I think he's specifically talking about the Pfizer vaccine here. He also mentions that they're ignoring all alternative treatments and effectiveness of natural preventative medicines such as vitamin D. This is something that's just as crazy about the whole COVID era we're going through with the vaccines. Because they're pushing the vaccine so much, and I do think it's likely there are monetary reasons behind that from Big Pharma. Because they're pushing that so much, they have to keep silent any other treatments that might make you not want to get the vaccine or might treat people. And Ed Penton's just mentioning this. But what he does, so for reporting this, this guy, Carrara, basically calls it fake news. But it's not fake news. I mean, he's literally just listing these people who died from this medical database, who died, the American Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System. So these are people who reported to have died after receiving the vaccine, minors, 48 different cases. That's not fake news. But this is what misinformation and fake news are if they go against the narrative. So by reporting this, what Ed Penton is doing is he might be making some people vaccine hesitant, particularly vaccine hesitant towards young people. And what's wrong with that? If there is a potential for harm for somebody receiving the vaccine, especially a young person, maybe you should be hesitant. Maybe you'd want to look into all the information more than just what the woke axis tells you to look into it. And so what we see here is we just have these campaigns against any misinformation. And I think it's sad that we're seeing it in the Catholic world. So like I said, we see Alatea and Arsene Visitor joining this organization that is trying to censor any information about COVID. But I think it's beyond that as well. A couple of years ago, Bishop Barron floated out the idea of having like a yellow check mark system. Basically, Catholic voices online that were approved by the Vatican or by a diocese. And they would have some type of way they would be able to acknowledge that. I think yellow check mark was something that was just kind of an example of that. You have your blue check mark on Twitter. It was a yellow check mark, kind of the Vatican colors of yellow. And it would basically, okay, these people are approved to speak as Catholics. And really what it was Bishop Barron's way of trying to control the narrative. And that's what this always is. It's controlling the narrative. They want to silence any opposition as fake or extreme. I remember when there was a dust up between Taylor Marshall and Bishop Barron a couple years ago, Taylor was very, very much said, hey, I would love to have a discussion with Bishop Barron about the issue, particularly the issue of the how may we hope that all men might be saved. And Bishop Barron basically just tagged him as extreme. I can't remember the exact comment he made, but he basically just said something to the effect of that I'm not going to give a platform to this guy who is so extreme. And so that's another way that you fight so-called misinformation and fake news, is you simply disassociate yourself with them, call them extreme if they don't go with the narrative. And what makes them extreme is the fact they don't go with the narrative. There's not an openness to understanding all points of view. The old Thomas Aquinas way of doing things, where you actually listen to those you disagree with, you give them the best hearing you possibly can, and then you critique and say, okay, here's why I think they are wrong. That's the Catholic way of doing things. Not this, we're going to shut down and shout down anybody who dares to disagree with us. That's not the Catholic way of doing it. We should support, as Catholics, we should support freedom, particularly for those voices that for truth that are being silenced. And particularly in the area of science. I mean, we're not talking about, for example, there's no need to have a debate in the Catholic Church about the Trinity, about whether or not God is three persons or not, or whether or not Jesus Christ is a divine person with a human and divine nature. Those things are settled. They've been definitively defined by the Church, and they're infallible statements of doctrine. We don't need to have a debate on that. There's no reason to give a platform to somebody who's saying something contrary to that. That's explicit heresy. However, in these areas of prudential judgment, like whether or not to get the vaccine, or scientific information, like whether or not the vaccine is medically necessary, whether or not it's dangerous or not, these type of questions, which are just scientific questions or prudential questions that should be debated, Catholics should be the first to say that we should allow this type of vigorous debate in the Church when it comes to these things like prudential decisions and scientific statements. Scientific statements this is basic science 101. They're not facts just because the most number of experts said they agree with it. What makes something scientific fact is lots of documentation and proof and testing and vigorous testing and ability to challenge it and determine whether or not it's true. That's what real scientific is. That's what real fact checking is. Now, I will say, I want to wrap it up here soon. I will say there is good news in all this. And that is, they know the narrative is crumbling. The reason they're acting like this is because they know they're losing the battle. They're losing the narrative. More and more people every day are seeing the falsehoods. I mean, for example, let's go back to Joe Rogan real quick. He has a far greater audience than CNN does at this point. And that's actually why they hate him. Far more people listen to Joe Rogan than they do CNN. And in fact, the more they attack Joe Rogan, the more people will listen to him. And so the nice thing about this whole fact-checking organization is it kind of serves as a way to listen to dissenting voices, because whoever they attack, that's somebody we should probably at least give a hearing to and listen to. And so they know the narrative is crumbling. And so they're going to attack anybody who dares to go against the narrative in a desperate attempt to keep it propped up. But I do think it's crumbling. I do think we're seeing more and more people recognize it. A good example of this is here in Ohio. When COVID first came about, our governor, Mike DeWine, a Catholic, whatever, he basically just bought into the whole COVID narrative. We had lockdowns, we had mask mandates and all that stuff. He's a Republican, and he did all that. But then he finally did, there was a lot of pushback over time, and eventually he did finally drop all the mandates, all the statewide stuff. And he has not instituted them back, even though a lot of states recently in the past few months have. He hasn't done that. And I think he knows, because there's not political support for it. He knows people are just getting tired of this. They know it doesn't work. The mask mandates, for example, don't work. And they're tired of trying to just pretend that they do. And so our governor, realizes that. I think you're obviously your diehard leftist COVID regime dictator isn't going to be like that, you know, in New York or California, a place like that. But it is nice to see it happening in other places that this narrative is crumbling. Ultimately, as Catholics, we look to the words of our Lord, who said, "You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." We are not afraid of the truth. But discovering the truth sometimes means we listen to lots of different voices, particularly, like I said, in prudential judgments or scientific knowledge. We have to listen to lots of different voices to come to the truth. We're not afraid of that open debate so we can get to the truth, because we know the truth will actually set us free. You don't discover the truth in science or in practical decisions by silencing all dissent. You listen to very varying voices. And so I think that's really something as Catholics that we need to do. We need to listen to various voices when it comes to COVID, not just accept the narrative, not just go along with it blindly, but be willing to challenge it, be willing to resist it if it's saying something false. And the same thing goes for narratives like the transgender narrative, the homosexuality narrative, all these different narratives that are being pushed on us. We need to resist them. And we need to resist these stupid fact checkers, which we all know are simply trying to push a narrative, whether or not the information is true or false. All they want to do is push the narrative. So as Catholics, let's pray for our leaders that they would not fall for this type of fact-checking and censorship, but would allow the truth about COVID, the truth about the vaccines, all these different things to come out, and that we all would learn from it and actually discover the truth and let the truth set us free. Okay, that's it for now. Until next time, everybody, God love you.